Well, it appears that we're going to have to talk about the ABCs of good versus evil. Welcome, folks. This is Eurofolk Radio Bloodlines, and today is going to be part two of our discussion of the blasphemy that says that Yahweh is Satan.
Boy.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I hear you grumbling, Pastor Steve. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, right. You sound evil this morning. All right, so folks, this is crazy, absolutely craziness, and we're going to attack this from
Yeah, I've got it. I am the God of Hell's fire.
Right, and I believe,
Fire! Do-do-do! No, no.
yeah. So yeah, we'd have to start by asking, is it possible that the deity that dictated the Ten Commandments to Moses would also be Satan? Is there any possibility that Yahweh violates his own laws? All right, that would have to be the first question to
A
ask.
house divided against itself cannot stand.
Yeah, and that's what Yahshua said in the New Testament also, in the Greek
Well,
Testament. Yeah.
the main confusion comes from our beloved King James Version, where it translates certain words as evil.
Right.
And if you look up the words, you do your word search, it is not evil. It is harm. It is punishment.
Right.
And again, the human ego comes into play. We are so arrogant that we don't want to admit that there is a pecking order in the universe. We
Yeah.
think we are so great and we are so powerful and we are so wonderful that we don't like the fact that Yahweh has laid down rules. The Korea and the reason we got booted out of Eden and our eternal life and had to go through all of this is the presence of sin and the tempting by the devil, a complete separate entity of the seed of Adam in the garden of evil. And the devil seducing Eve and producing progeny and putting a seed line on earth because the devil was so jealous of Yahweh and so egotistical that he wanted to take over and he wanted to rule. And Adam was put here to have dominion. Well, that didn't sit well with old Satan.
Right.
Now, Satan cannot create. He doesn't have that power. He can only pervert
He does a good
what
job.
Yahweh has created.
Right.
Well, he is busy perverting. We are seeing all this abortion on demand and transgenderism and all of that. And if Yahweh were evil, he would have just given up on us and zapped us long ago. But
Right.
he did not. He did not. He even came down here in the form of a man as Yahshua, which means Yah is salvation. That is his Hebrew name,
Right.
whether you like it or not. And it is the willfulness, again, the ego of mankind, Adamkind, that is in rebellion, and all this foofaraw that's going on right now, all this hassle, comes from the exposure of sin of one particular individual and his rebellion against Yahweh because he got caught in his sin. And we wouldn't stand for it. Now we're the enemy, and he's trying to strike at us. And he's using the sacred name of Yahweh to do it.
Yeah.
He is blaspheming the name out of his anger and his jealousy over the exposure of what he's doing. So he's bringing in all these outside influences, and he is acting as a divisive agent in Christian Identity. And he is digging out all these weirdo
websites,
yeah, and putting them up as proof, because he thinks just having a website makes it so.
Mm-hmm.
He has no backup. Bible proves him wrong over and over and over. And he is using twisted translations, as the Judeo-Christian hierarchy has done over all the years, the King James cult. And he's using the mistranslations to prove his point. Well, I'm sorry, sports fans, but we're not going to stand for that. Yeah. So here we are again with another show that we could be doing history or something productive, and we're having to debunk the bunk.
Right? bunkology. Bunkology. Yeah.
Well, we're becoming bunko.
Yeah, right. Bunko squad. Right.
Bunko squad. Okay. Before we really get into this, this is a live show, and I want to let the audience know that due to a nice donation that I got, thank you, Matt, a case of Bibles is on the way. I ordered direct. I'm a repeat customer with Institute for Scripture Research.
Mm-hmm.
Got a case of 10 Bibles on the way. I bought the mailing envelopes, and I have the first envelope already filled out. To go to a prisoner, so the prison ministry is alive and well.
Yes.
And thank you for the donation. We said we were going to do it, and here we are. We're doing it.
Yeah, very good. Thank you, Matt. Yes. And then, the more requests we get for Bibles, especially now that the prisoners, the word will get out that we have a scripture version of the Bible to distribute to them, there'll be greater requests, because I get constant requests for Bibles that use the sacred name.
I got my first one in prison, the scriptures. This is the updated version of the one I have.
Mm-hmm.
They had made some changes, but this is the updated version. This is the current version. And it's in an approved cover. You have to have certain criteria for the Bible to even get into prison. You can't have a Bible with an open spine, because they can slip a shank in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be just a glued book.
Binding, yeah.
Glued binding. And it meets all the federal regulations, which are very stiff. These are approved, so they should have trouble in getting in. And I'm going to do a nice cover letter explaining, and I'll include that with the Bible. And it's all
kosher.
it's all funded by people that actually care for their brethren. That's what it's all about. And I think Yahweh will bless.
Amen. No doubt.
There we go. But let's get back to the dark side here.
Well, here, since you brought it up, one of the offending passages of the King James translation is Isaiah 45:7. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, Yahweh, do all these things. So a lot of the criticism of Yahweh is based on this passage.
Mm-hmm. A mistranslation of King James. The word they use for evil means harm.
Right, harm.
I will create harm as punishment or retribution either on Adam or the enemies of Israel. That's the wrath of Yahweh for misbehavior of mankind, whether our species or the sub-races. If they attack Israel, they will be punished if it's unjustified. He used Nebuchadnezzar to take down apostate Israel. It's all dependent upon misbehavior and wrongdoing by people, whether of the Israelite people or the non-Israelite people. It's all a punishment for wrongdoing. And again, ego comes into play. How dare you punish me? There's a pecking order in the universe. He is going to punish Satan.
It's not a democracy.
Into the lake of fire.
Amen.
And all his minions that serve him, and all these people that are blaspheming the name, which is a major sin, they are dooming themselves to this punishment, which is coming. He is not bound by the laws of time. He will let people play out their little games to see where they really stand. Mm-hmm. And if they fall on the wrong side of the fence, or they jump back over the fence after once proclaiming Yahweh, as is the case here,
right?
There's going to be punishment for that.
Yeah.
And we warn and we warn and we warn and we warn. But if it falls on deaf ears and people are in rebellion and their ego and their personal lust takes over, it is not our fault. We don't make you deliberately sin. But when we as brothers call your attention, look, brother, you're doing wrong here. You got to straighten up. You can't do that and stay in Yahweh's good graces. You're going to have to straighten up and fly right. No, 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 I'm not doing anything wrong. Love wins. Well, no, no, that's what has gotten people in trouble all down through the ages.
Yeah, yeah.
Yahweh rules. Whether you like it or you don't like it, you can say all these wicked things, and the only one it's going to destroy is yourself. It's not going to affect us, and we at EFR are going to continue to proclaim Yahweh. Yahweh's Yahweh yours. And Satan are two different entities. One is Yahweh, the all-powerful. The other is Satan, a fallen angel that was kicked out of the dominion by Yahweh, who wants to destroy Yahweh's ultimate creation, the Adamic people.
Right.
That's what it's all about. The war in heaven has never ended. It will end at the final battle where Yahweh will destroy Satan, this one that they're talking about, and his minions, his earthly minions, including those blasphemers and the Jews, just says that in the book of Obadiah, and they have used the King James Bible to accomplish their evil ends by mistranslating the words and being deceivers of Adam kind. And here we are again, translating a word that means harm or punishment into the word evil.
Right.
Now, that's a long dissertation on one little word. How subtle is the most subtle beast of the field? The devil. Yeah. Very subtle. And he is deceiving continually. And he's deceived these people. He's pulled a lot of people back away from the Father.
And through subtle deception.
The wrath of Yahweh is going to descend. And it grieves me.
That evil wrath.
The other day, it hurts It hurts me to see brothers go down the wrong path.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I can't make that decision for them.
Mm-hmm.
They have to make that decision. All I can do is stay strong and stay firm in the word. And they can call all the names that they want. They can rail. You can go out and spit in the wind, and it's going to come right back on you.
Right.
That's all I. Yeah. What can you do except stay on the right side?
Yeah. Broad is the path.
And teach the truth.
That leadeth to destruction. Narrow or straight is the gate that leadeth to the kingdom. This is really obvious. So, and the more difficult path is adherence to the law, right? The easy path is doing as you please, right?
Yep. All right, thou wilt. That's the whole of the law. What was that, Aleister Crowley?
Right. Aleister Crowley, right? Okay, so the word for evil in Isaiah 45:7 is ra'ah.
Ra'ah. Seven, four, five, one.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm correct.
That's correct. There's two versions of it. Ra is the masculine noun version. Ra'ah is the feminine adjective.
That's correct.
Okay. And so this includes the second feminine form as adjective or noun: adversity, affliction, bad, calamity, distress, evil. I would say chastisement.
Mm-hmm.
Or as you're saying, punishment. Harm. Punishment.
Punishment.
I create or inflict punishment or chastisement would be the most accurate.
Got to spank your children.
Right? You're getting a spanking from Yahweh. Now, the opposite end is the Hebrew aval. Aval, which means unjust. That is not the word that is used here. Or unrighteous. Yahweh does not do anything unrighteous.
It's a wah, not a vav.
Okay. All right. Okay.
And that's what they're railing about is those of us that have studied and speak some Hebrew.
Mm-hmm.
And this one fat woman that was on the program that he had the other day. Oh, those people that speak Hebrew just impress everybody. No, we learn Hebrew to find out what the Bible really says to counter these mistranslations. Study to show yourself approved because you're too fat and lazy.
Right.
Too fat and lazy. Good Lord, Marky, put down the pork rinds. Get some exercise.
Right.
I
said handicap. Right?
Yeah.
All right, and this is confirmed by James 1:13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of the deity, for the deity cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So James confirms, and that's kakos, he tempted with evil, kakos, very similar to the word kaka, right?
Okay. Yahweh does not tempt.
He does not do
the
evil.
Fallen angel comes here and tempts us to see whether we will be true to Yahweh.
That's right.
Some people make it. Some people fall short.
Mm-hmm.
Whose fault is that?
Right.
You know, if you don't stay true and you fall away, it says right in scripture in the quote unquote New Testament. I don't like to have to use that term either, but in the last days, many will fall away. Their hearts will be hardened and they will live according to the world. It warns us not to do certain things. Now, if Yahweh didn't care about us and didn't love us, he wouldn't give us this warning. And the words of Christ himself confirm all of this. Some will fall on stony ground. They will take root for a little while and then wither. Well, there's been a little bit of withering going on around lately. We just had another brother that used to be on EFR go over to the camp of Professor Poop.
Mm-hmm.
And that and David James did a show on that. He's really hurt. He's tried to help that brother over and over and over, and he got led astray by one that Michael mm-hmm. what's his name? He took over his show, and then all of us, you know, after he left EFR, the Holy Spirit told him to leave. Well, it destroyed him.
Right.
It wasn't the Holy Spirit whispering in his ear.
Right. The spirit of rebellion. Yeah, absolutely.
He went off and on a wild tangent, and his shows were absolute crap after that.
Right. Yes, they were.
And whose fault is that? So he's looking for any platform now, any port in the storm. We thought he was going to come back here, but
right.
No. He would have been welcomed back as a brother.
Mm-hmm.
As long as he got rid of that one guy that was teaching absolute claptrap.
Right.
Well, now he's gone over to the other camp because they made him a better deal or whatever. And they've seduced him. Say, oh, yeah, we'll give you this and we'll give you that. Yeah, well, you're going to get it all right. They're going to give it to you. But right. It ain't going to be what you're looking for.
Yeah.
You're going to give it to you good, buddy.
Nonsense. Absolute nonsense. So the idea that the deity that created the Ten Commandments could simultaneously be Satan is just absolutely absurd. Utterly absurd at how anybody could...
War, it's part of the war in heaven, and all that claptrap is a continuation of that war.
Mm-hmm.
Hallel versus Yahweh.
Yeah. So it's a right fine day. it's a cloudy day for them, those who deny Yahweh's laws, you know, and rebel against them.
Well, it's always the laws that get them. They don't want to mm-hmm. obey the laws.
That's right.
It's too restrictive.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do certain things. You can only behave in a certain way. You have to conduct your life according to Yahweh's dictates. You can't just go off on your own. And if you go off on your own, you're going to go into sin.
That's right.
Again, who?
And it's not a happy place.
That?
It's not a happy place. All
and
right.
Whose fault is that?
Right.
It's a choosing ground. You have to choose whom you're going to serve.
Amen. And amen.
The whole purpose of Satan is to make people make the wrong choice.
That's right. Yeah,
and
very subtle.
Yahweh's camp.
Yeah, it's always very subtle.
That's all that's going on. That's it. That's mm-hmm. the whole deal right there.
Well, look what happened to Solomon, right? I mean, and even David had his episode with Bathsheba.
Yep.
You know. Bathsheba must have really been something for him to kill somebody to get her, right?
Engineered his murder, Uzziah.
Right. Ooh. Man. Okay. So, but now this idea that the usual reason why I would say it's mainly secular people and sometimes it's so-called pastors who just don't know where they're at, you know, come up with this crazy doctrine that Yahweh is Satan. It's usually because they see that the Jews are evil people, okay? And they also believe that the Jews' God is Yahweh. Therefore, Yahweh must be evil too. That's basically the reasoning they employ. But the Jews do not worship Yahweh. That's just pretense.
No, they do not.
Yeah.
No, they do not.
That's sheer pretense, folks. And so they get fooled by the Talmud, which is not the same as Torah.
That's
okay?
Correct.
The Jews practice Talmud, not Torah. So if you make this mistake by falsely believing that the Jews worship Yahweh, when they actually worship Satan, okay? They actually worship Satan, not Yahweh. Therein lies the confusion. Yeah, that's why some people who are looking from the outside into Judaism simply get this wrong. They simply get it wrong. Again, the devil is very subtle. And unless you do your homework and find out that the Jews do not worship Yahweh, but they worship Satan instead, then you find out that your reasoning is wrong, okay? So let's go into the book of Job, because the book of Job clearly distinguishes Yahweh from Satan.
And it predates the books of Moshe. Job is the oldest book in the scriptures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's also a parable about how Satan is allowed to test us, not just Job, but us.
Yes.
Okay. And so I'll start from Job 1:6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before Yahweh, and Satan came also among them. Okay, so here, Satan and Yahweh are clearly distinguished from one another. They're two separate entities.
And it is the Satan, Satan, the adversary, as a proper
noun.
Name.
Yes.
Satan by itself without the article, ha or ho, depending on Greek or Hebrew.
All right.
Is not a proper name. It's just a description.
Right. Now, if they're correct in equating Yahweh with Satan, then verse 1:7 would say, "And Satan said unto Satan, whence comest thou?" Okay? This is how they would have to translate it if they really believe that Yahweh is Satan. But it says, "And Yahweh said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered Yahweh and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it, looking for victims." That's what he was doing, right? Looking for easy marks. Verse 8, "And Yahweh said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God, our deity, and escheweth evil?"
Oh, Brother Abair's got Jews worship their way.
Yeah, right. Oh, for sure.
Oh, boy, not Yahweh. Their way. Oh,
yeah, yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know whether to give that a merit or a demerit.
Okay. Well, it's accurate.
Yeah, it is accurate. There's no doubt about that. Yeah, yeah. Then Satan answered Yahweh. Now, he must be talking to himself.
Yeah.
Right? He must be talking to himself.
And he had a hangover. He got drunk.
Right?
He muttered to himself, what a head I got this morning.
Right. What am I doing to myself? And said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? And hast thou..."
But there's another word, fear.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, they put fear. A lot of times it's reverence or hold in awe.
Mm-hmm.
But they universally translate it as fear.
Yeah, it's not necessarily
upright. See, that's another mistranslation, deliberate, generic translation of a set of words.
Mm-hmm.
Same way they have men. Well, what kind of men?
Right.
Strong men, young, they're all different words. Strong men, young men, old men, Adam, mortals. They don't distinguish. They just put man or men.
Right. Right. Another
deception.
Sloppy translations, to say the least.
Not deliberate.
Mm-hmm. Okay, verse 10. "Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side?"
Hedge of protection.
Right. "Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land." This is what happens to us. We prosper when we obey Torah. Deuteronomy 28 says exactly the same thing. Okay?
Yep.
Verse 11. "But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse to thee to thy face." This is, again, Satan speaking to Yahweh. All right, so in other words, he's saying Job is a fair-weather friend. He only worships you because he's prosperous. Okay. Actually, it works out the other way in our analysis of the Israelite people. When we become prosperous, that's when we begin to abandon Yahweh and consider ourselves better and don't need Yahweh. Right?
Yep.
Okay. But this is a parable about not just Job's life, but our lives as well. When when we experience ra'ah, then we get angry with Yahweh and ask him, why did you do this to me? Right? Well, he comes back and says, well, I told you not to do that. Why are you doing that? I told you you'd run into catastrophe if you do that. Verse 12, and Yahweh said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of Yahweh. Okay, and then he began, well, just a few more verses here, because the story is very familiar to us. Verse 13, and there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. All right, so what's happening here is the evil that befell Adam and Eve because of their disobedience has now come upon Job's own house. Okay? This is something that we can expect to happen. This is
the testing. And the sons and the daughters were doing wrong. They were evidently just having a party and just cavorting and doing all the stuff that we're not supposed to do. So the Sabaeans, who are an enemy people, came down on them and took them away as captives and killed a lot of people. And, hey.
Yeah, yeah. And then he says, while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of Elohim has fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. So there's always a remnant. This is kind of the parable of the remnant, right? There's always a remnant who are obedient to Yahweh's laws who carry on.
Well, this is also the evil brought on by Satan to try to tempt Job. And Satan has always slain Adam kind. He wants to destroy all of us, which is the genocide program that the adversary's children are in right now, trying to eliminate the white race. Well, it hasn't changed in all these years, folks. Has not changed. It's still going on. They're still doing what they've always done. And the Sabaeans were non-atomic enemies. Now look at what we've got here today. The non-atomic enemies are attacking true Israel.
Right.
And trying to genocide us. And when we let them into our countries, we open ourselves to this harm.
Right.
And you try to tell people that, and they look at you like you got two heads. Oh, no, we're all God's children. We're all brothers. Well, no, we're not.
Right. Right? Not all these races, that's for sure, right?
Nope.
And I'll just jump down to verses 21 and 22. And Job said, naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. Yahweh gave, and Yahweh hath taken away. Blessed be the name of Yahweh. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Okay.
That's right.
All right. So he was faithful through the hard times. Through the hard times. That's the lesson of the book of Job. And then in the end, Job was mightily blessed by Yahweh for being faithful to him. Okay. That's the lesson of the book of Job. It's actually a very simple lesson. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So I don't know how you can confuse Yahweh and Satan in this parable of Job. I mean, it's absurd to equate the two. All right? So, but now our people, we have two problems. Number one, we fall for subtle deceptions. The more subtle, the more subtle, the more difficulty we have detecting the deception, right? And then we have our own lusts and passions that we want to satisfy, which oppose Torah. So, you know, those are the two problems we have. And if we've got both problems at the same time, well, disaster happens. Disaster always follows when we make those two mistakes at the same time, right? So, you know, we feel, you know, sympathy for our brethren that go down this path, but you've been warned. You're not supposed to go down this path. You know, disaster always follows, and don't think that you can avoid it, all right? So this is something that our people must learn through experience, and the remnant is the people who always make it through by doing their utmost to avoid deliberate sin. All right, I don't see how we can say it any clearer than that.
Yeah,
the remnant are those who make it through avoiding deliberate sin, and you also have to learn about the subtle deceptions of Satan and his people, the Jews, and how the Jews subtly destroy everything. It's called dissimulation. It's turning using words in meanings that are the opposite of what we've been taught, and not catching how they distort language, all right? It's this distortion of language, which, as you pointed out, Steve, the King James Version is full of these subtle distortions, okay?
Well, so, and it gives a platform for those who wish to deceive. Look, the Bible says this. Well, that particular mistranslated book does.
Right, exactly.
They're using, they've weaponized the King James Bible. That's what they've done. They've weaponized
it. Right. And so this myth that because the Jews worship Yahweh, Yahweh must be an evil God is very prevalent among white nationalists. It's not so prevalent among Christians, so-called. But there are occasionally...
Well, the white nationalists have good intentions. They want to have the white nation and all that, but they don't want to go by the rule book.
That's right.
Then therein lies the problem.
It's for them, right.
The anti-rule book deal.
right.
And,
okay.
What can you say, you know?
All right.
Again, the rule structure is what they rebel against. They don't want to go by rules. They want to party and do all of this and get up on a stage and in a public venue and curse, use bad language,
right?
Get drunk and get into fights. And then CI gets tarred with that brush.
Right.
See?
Exactly.
That's not how we do things.
No.
So they've asked me to speak at white pride rallies. Look, is it going to be a Christian gathering, or are you going to get drunk and act the fool? Well, we're going to party, man. Yeah, well, but you party and you have a nice day. See you.
Right.
See you another time.
Yeah. Well, one of the Christian purveyors of this myth, this mythology, is Roger Hathaway. And the professor has gone the way of Roger Hathaway, promoting his ideology, okay?
Yes.
All right? And so here is a letter, an email that Roger Hathaway sent to me in 2005, because he was trying to tell me that Yahweh is a Canaanite God and not the God of Israel. Okay? So, right off the bat, you have to ask the question, are not the Canaanites a polytheistic culture? Everybody knows that the Canaanites were a polytheistic culture.
They had all kinds of different gods.
Right.
That's where your Baalim come in.
Yeah, right. And so he asserts that the Israelites borrowed Yahweh from the Canaanites. But then how did they come up with monotheism?
Well, Yahweh predates the existence of the Canaanites.
That's correct.
Job and the early books of Moshe predate Canaan.
Right. Amen. Amen.
So,
yeah.
That pokes that balloon with a sharp point.
Right. Well, that's a gross oversight to not realize that the Canaanites were a polytheistic society. And Yahweh, if they worshipped Yahweh at all, it was in an imperfect form, right? And only to hedge their bets against, well, okay, we better worship all these different gods in case one of them is the true God, right? That's the only reason.
That's what happened with Samaria.
Mm-hmm.
They had put those golden calves over there. Well, after that king was killed, they came back to sort of Yahweh worship, but polluted, and that's why Christ said, don't go unto the Samaritans.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly.
Because they have a perverted form of worship.
Yes.
They've got these Baalim that they've got over there and that golden calf, and they're calling that Yahweh.
Yes. Now, we also have
that was the problem over in Samaria, which was right by Jerusalem, close on to it.
Samaria, not Sumer, but Samaria, right. Yeah.
Yes, Samaria. Yeah.
Okay. So,
it was a neighboring city.
Right.
And they had moved the capital there at one. They had moved the capital there at one time.
Yeah, the 10 northern tribes did. Yes. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we also have to understand that the Israelites living under 400 years of Egyptian captivity, they probably, if they knew Yahweh before the captivity, is questionable, but they were certainly forced to observe Egyptian deities while they were enslaved there.
Wait a minute.
Okay.
A new king arose over Egypt. Remember that passage?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But did not know Yosef. Mm-hmm. That was the conquering Hyksos.
Yeah, who were Hittites.
Who were a Canaanite bunch.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They brought in their pagan gods. That's why they didn't know Joseph, and they started persecuting the Israelites again.
Mm-hmm.
The Egyptians of Mitzrayim, the kindred, had been mixed by these people. There was no mixture before that Hyksos king came in.
Right, yeah. The Egyptians were pure Hamites, and the Israelites were pure
and
Shemites.
They got along fine. They were they prospered, and they prospered all of Egypt as well.
That's right.
So there was no problem with it. And even the Pharaoh recognized the power of Yahweh. Well, this Pharaoh, the Hyksos Pharaoh, was against Yahweh, because he was of that cursed seed line. They had conquered the Egyptians, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's why he persecuted Israel. And Israel had to leave, and that's what Yahweh did all those miracles and smote those people to get them to let Israel go. He didn't smite the general Mizraim population so much as he smote that ruling class,
right,
of the evil ones that had conquered the good people. So, again, people don't do their research on that. I don't know what to say. All of this stems from laziness and ignorance, deliberate, willful ignorance in a lot of ways, of these people that are spouting this, relying to deceive those who have not done their research, the people who have not followed up on their studies. They're easy to deceive. Those are your pew sitters,
right,
that want to sit in church on Sunday and listen to somebody tell them what they should believe without doing their study.
Bench warmers.
And they go by all these preconceived and pre-printed study programs, which are in error, and then they just, oh, look, we got this pamphlet and it says this, so it must be true. It's like saying, well, I saw it on TV, it must be true. They can't lie on TV, can they?
Yeah, no.
Well, let's just say it's the same vein of thought. It's deception designed to subvert and keep in ignorance the already ignorant.
There you go. The blind leading the blind.
Blind leading the... Well, these are deceivers leading the blind to keep them from following the true path and keep them from knowledge. Satan is darkness, which also means ignorance, if you look up the word. And he doesn't want enlightenment or education for Israel. Because if people become educated as to what the word really says, it'll debunk all of this, and then they'll come over to Yahweh. And they don't want that. It's the whole idea to get people away from Yahweh. And a lot of people are going along with it because of the rule structure put out there by Yahweh. They don't want to follow the rule structure. Therefore, they'll go down this path and rail against Yahweh because Yahweh is against their particular corrupted lifestyle. It is a lifestyle choice rather than a religious choice. You want to choose the world, okay? Well, what's going to happen to the world? And they're like this. This guy's choosing the path that allows him to stay in his sin and doesn't call him out on it.
Right. Right.
And we have a stony heart and we're evil because we called him out on it.
Right.
Look, right. You can't do this, actually, brother. You need to straighten up.
It's out of concern for his soul that we advised him against doing this. Right?
And he's not mad at him. He's not mad at himself.
No.
For living in sin.
No.
He wants to transfer that anger to us and Yahweh because we called him on his sin. You mean I can't have my way? What's evil?
Right.
You must be evil because
my way is my way.
Against my way.
Yeah, I know better. I know better than Yahweh. Okay, Clan Feeder says the Jew God is called Jewway. All right, very good.
All right.
So let's get back to Roger Hathaway here, and this is the email he sent out. There was a general email sent to me as well. Dear brother in Christ, so he's posturing as a Christian. I don't give him credit for being a real Christian because he teaches so much error that, I really can't call him a follower of Christ because Christ, what did Yahshua say?
Well, he's using the name. That's all he's doing is using the name.
Well, Yahshua said the Father and I are one. What don't you understand? Was he talking about Satan or Yahweh? Okay, it's clear that they don't know much about Scripture, people who make such, loony statements.
Well, they choose to ignore the word, getting back again, we've quoted what Yahshua taught as far as this sexual sin. So now Yahshua is the devil speaking they've perverted everything, and they and any rule structure that he spouted must be evil. That's got to be the devil, not Christ speaking. That's another thing that they're purporting. Well, sometimes it's Christ, and he talks about love, and we're not held accountable for anything anymore. He's bailed us out. We can do what we want, and we're still going to get saved.
Yeah.
Well, that's,
I do
that's
the will
wrong.
Of my Father. What don't you understand?
Well.
Right? Is that Satan? Is that Satan?
Well, they're saying that it is. If he brought in rules and he quoted the Torah, he's got that would be Satan speaking.
Yeah,
Jesus is just love, and you can do all the love that you want if you want to fool around. That's love, so you can do that. Well, no.
Yeah, he's a long-haired hippie that smokes dopes and allows everything, right?
Yeah.
It's crazy, utterly crazy. All right, and he says, I did a little research this afternoon. Okay, so maybe this is all the research he did one afternoon. On the earliest appearance of Yahweh, I hope you find this helpful for your interest. It appears more than 6,000 times in the Masoretic text of 1000 AD with some variation. So he's assuming that Yahweh is a Jewish construct because he's referencing the Masoretic text, right? But if he would have consulted any decent Bible, he would find out that the Jews do not use Yahweh in their prayers, and the Jews are the ones responsible for suppressing the name of Yahweh.
They use Adonai,
mm-hmm.
which is Lord.
Yeah, he even mentions that in this article, so he should know better, right? Okay, now he says, it does not appear once in any text the Greek Septuagint of 285 B.C., nor is it suspected of being in the original, which no longer exists, nor is known of. Now, in this statement, he is absolutely wrong. And I'm going to put in the chat room the fact that there is in extant a version of the Septuagint which contains the Tetragrammaton in Hebrew, from right to left. I'm copying it right now. I'm going to put it in the chat room so people can see the error that Roger Hathaway has made here. And give me one second, folks. I have to get back into the chat room. Okay, there it is. This is www.elia.com. Tetragrammaton found in earliest copies of the Septuagint. Because of the detailed nature of the below graphics, they will take a while to load unless you are blah, 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 blah. Okay. The below fragments are evidence that the Septuagint originally contained the name of Yahweh. So Roger Hathaway is absolutely wrong in this assertion.
Yeah, but how many people are going to research that?
Yeah. Right. Well, that's what we're instructed to do. Study to show thyself approved.
Yeah, but okay. he's picking off the easy ones.
Right.
He's not getting to people like us.
Right. Yeah.
He's picking off easy prey. That's all he's about.
Right. And he's confirming in the minds of white nationalists that the Bible is a Jewish book. And that Jesus was a Jew and all that garbage.
That's the intent of this whole deal.
Yeah, yeah, either that he's just totally innocent of knowledge, right? Ignorant of the facts, okay? And now I know that non-Christian scholars have made this claim that Yahweh is a Canaanite god. So he's probably following in their footsteps. But that's wrong. Yahweh was not a Canaanite god. As we said earlier, the first tip-off should be that the Canaanites were a polytheistic bunch, and they did not worship a monotheistic god, namely Yahweh. They did not.
That's correct.
Okay? All right? So, the first is an ancient fragment of the Septuagint dated between 50 BC and 50 AD. If this dating is correct, it would have been written near the time of Yahshua's ministry. The name of these fragments are, quote, Nahal Hever Minor Prophets, unquote, because they are fragments of Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, and Zechariah found in the Nahal Hever cave south of Qumran. The Tetragrammaton is indicated with the large black arrow. You can see the Tetragrammaton is written in Paleo-Hebrew, right to left, the four letters of Yahweh written right to left, while the main text is written in Greek, left to right. So there's your proof. Okay? All right?
Well, it could be Boustrophedron.
It could be.
Well, right. They write right to left. They drop down to the next line. They write left to right.
Mm-hmm.
Then they drop down and they write right to left again. They just, it's a zigzag pattern on the parchment.
Mm-hmm.
So they can write uninterrupted. They don't have to go back over to the left to start a new paragraph or line, mm-hmm. or the right, depending on what they're writing in. That's called Boustrophedron.
Mm-hmm. Right? And he continues, notice that the Tetragrammaton is written in the ancient Hebrew, Paleo-Hebrew script. Here is another example of an ancient fragment of the Septuagint dating to the 1st century AD. This fragment contains parts of Job, chapter 42. There are
okay,
other...
Brother Hebert makes a good point.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes down to it, one who follows the way... but may be wrong on the name, is righteous. One who uses the sacred name but does not follow the way is unrighteous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a blasphemer. That was one of the reasons Yahweh actually did take the name, his name out of the mouths of the disobedient Israelites, right? Because he got sick and tired of telling lies in his name.
Yep.
Okay. And one more line here. There are other early fragments that also contain the sacred name in like manner. According to scholars, no copies of the Septuagint dated before the mid-second century AD substitutes Tetragrammaton, Yahweh's name, with Kyrios, the Greek word for Lord. Okay? So, the earliest manuscripts contained the Hebrew, Paleo-Hebrew in right to, right to left. Contraposed with the Greek left to right. That's what these fragments show. So Hathaway is dead wrong on this subject. Okay? So then, after I corrected Roger Hathaway on this subject, he grudgingly conceded that point, but that point only. He still believes that Yahweh is a Canaanite God in spite of this evidence. So he writes this essay. I genuinely appreciate that many people are attempting to take a religious position by honoring a sacred name for God like Yahweh. I think it is being done somewhat in reaction against the organized Christian churches, which are nothing more than painted sepulchre. All right, so he's ingratiating himself to identity by saying these things. Yeah, we know this. Unfortunately, most people are not aware that such sacred names originated in non-Israelite pagan cultures of the ancient Near East. Well, that's not
wrong.
True. That's not
that's
true.
Wrong.
That's not true either. Okay.
They now, picked it up.
Right.
And perverted its usage, which is the habit of Satan.
Mm-hmm.
He does not create. Right. He just perverts what Yahweh has already created.
Right. Now, this next sentence shows how ignorant he is of Scripture. I contend that the names got into our biblical tradition while the Israelites were captive in Assyria and Babylon, there mixing with the paganist Chaldean mystery schools. It's obvious from Scripture that the name of Yahweh was being used by Moses from Exodus 3:15 onward. Okay, which was many hundreds of years before the Assyrian captivity.
Oh, that's just too easy.
Yeah. I mean, wow. How can you get this wrong? It's right there, Exodus 2:14 and 15. Moses asks Yahweh, by what name do you want us to call you? And he says, I am that I am. YHWH. This is the name by which you will call me from now on. This was well before the invasion of Canaan land.
Hiya, Asher. Hiya.
Mm-hmm. There you go, using Hebrew again. You're just trying to impress people.
Yeah.
Pastor Steve. Okay. Now he says the first known appearance of the name Yahweh in the Holy Land region was on the Mesha Stele, 9th century BC, a royal inscription where Mesha, the king of Moab, recounts the favor of Moab's deity in delivering Moab from control of its neighbor, Israel. Well, that may be the first secular or non-Israelite instance of the Tetragrammaton, but it certainly isn't the first instance of the Israelites using Tetragrammaton. Okay? So now we have to understand that the Israelites had an exclusively monotheistic culture until the rebellion of the 10 northern tribes. Okay? So if he's obviously not taking the Bible at its word, because he simply is denying Exodus 2, 14, and 15, as if it's utterly irrelevant. Okay, I mean, this is really poor scholarship. I mean, it doesn't get much poorer than this. Okay? So, yeah, and then when, after Solomon started marrying non-Israelite women and put them in his harem, that caused a split between the two southern tribes, Judah and Benjamin, and the 10 northern tribes. And that's when the 10 northern tribes fell into pagan rituals and that's when they adopted the Canaanite gods and goddesses, and no earlier. All right?
Yep.
And all this is verified archaeologically, that the name of Yahweh was not prevalent in Canaan land until the Israelites invaded and took over. That's when the name of Yahweh became prevalent in Palestine, and no earlier. Right? I mean, how does a polytheistic nation, and every scholar concedes that the Canaanites were a polytheistic nation, teach to the Israelites monotheism?
How? They had weather gods. They had all those little teraphim that they talk about. Those were household gods.
Mm-hmm.
Those are teraphim.
Right. Well,
they were weather gods. They were fertility gods. They were all those. Mm-hmm. And they were instructed to bust those things up and burn them.
Yeah.
Wherever you find them, if you find a grove with a carved tree to Asherah, you are to cut that down and burn it.
Well, Abram himself did that. He destroyed his father's idols.
Yep.
Would he do that if he were
chop him up with a hatchet? And he says, well, that big one was the one it chopped up all the other idols.
Right. Would he have
put
done
the hatchet
that
in the hand of the biggest one?
Right, not the effort, right? Yeah. So he snuck in there at night and cut him to pieces, right?
Well, it was the big god. It didn't want all these other little gods.
It was the biggest
statue.
The big
statue. God took vengeance on all the little ones.
Yeah, yeah. So what he's doing.
So he could have all this food that he never eats.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. He continues, outside of the Holy Land, it is found on lists with five other sacred names in Egypt. Again, on lists with other names of other deities, right? But not exclusive. And even there, it was not a monotheistic god because it was counted among the other local gods, is basically the best way of putting it, local gods, okay? As far back as the 14th century B.C. All right, so he admits that the name existed at least as far back as the 14th century B.C. But
well,
then
what's to keep these polytheists from taking the name of Yahweh in vain and say, oh, this is another god, another one.
Right.
Like there are others.
Right.
And that's what they're doing. They're this is another of the gods. Well, none of the others are actually gods. And they're trying to lump Yahweh in with this other garbage. Now, whose fault is that?
Right.
Whose fault is that? That's their fault.
Yeah. He says, one Egyptian reference connects the name with Seir, Edom, about 1400 BC. But, again, that's just one of the names. That's not the god of Edom. Edom rejected Yahweh, right? Esau rejected Yahweh and his law.
Yep, that's right.
And that's why he married into the Canaanites, so that he could please himself, right? And become their ruler. Okay.
And they're little Canaanite hotties that he was having.
Right. Yes.
Hittite hottie.
Okay. Now this sentence is kind of a mixed bag. The Judahite returnees to Jerusalem around 510 BC brought back with them the religion of Babylonian Talmudic Phariseeism with its mystical branch of magics in later centuries to be called the Kabbalah. Well, this is partially true, but not entirely true. The fact is that the Judahite returnees, although they were familiar with Babylonian Talmudism, the returnees cleansed the temple and expelled all of the violators of Torah, okay, and would not allow any violators of Torah in their company. Ezra and Nehemiah expelled them, and they began to practice the feast days again. So it's not true that they brought Babylonian Phariseeism. Phariseeism came in at a much later date, all right, around 100 BC. And then we found out from Josephus that Herod was importing Babylonian priests from Babylon to become the high priest of the Pharisees, right? So this occurred later, not when he's asserting that it occurred, okay? And which were performed in order to obtain worldly blessings. No, the Judahites did not do that. Neither did the Maccabees. Our studies in the book of Maccabees and Josephus prove conclusively that they stayed true to Yahweh. They were practitioners of Torah and the way. They never deviated from that, at least not publicly, right?
Well, that's why all the rebellion, because they were not only rebelling against foreign rulers, but against their religious practices as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, yeah.
Our God is Yahweh. We want to go back to temple worship. We want it purified. We don't want all your garbage in our temple.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Hanukkah is the purification of the temple and the casting out of all those foreign deities. And if you will read the scripture, even Yeshua was there at the Hanukkah.
Right.
The festival of purification, not festival of lights. That's Jewish.
Right. So here, Roger Hathaway is telling me that he believes Rabbi Samuel Wise, who made this assertion. Okay, so why do you trust a Jew? A Jew's version of what happened to the returning Judahites. Why don't you consult the Bible instead of trusting a Jew, okay? And so, here's what he says. The name Yahweh was one of the Kabbalistic magic names. Again, he's believing Jewish assertions, okay? All right, so maybe they use it in the Kabbalah, but that doesn't mean they worship the Yahweh of Torah, right? They deny Torah. And Kabbalism.
They blasphemed the name, which is the way of their father, the devil.
That's right.
That's one of the main things, to take that name in vain.
Yes, absolutely. They do that at their own peril, and their peril is coming soon. He continues, the God of Abraham never used any personal name to distinguish him from any peers because he had no peers. That's not true either. Exodus 2:14 and 15 are absolute proof that Yahweh insisted that the Israelites use his personal name so as to distinguish him from the other gods.
This is my name, and this is my inheritance for all generations.
Right, yeah. He's relying on Jewish teaching when he says this. This is what, okay? I mean, it's obvious.
Judeo-Christian. They got to bring that Jew claptrap in there.
Right, right.
And that's what all these videos and all this stuff, it's a mixture of so-called Christianity, nominal Christianity, and Judaism.
Right. Therefore, he says, no personal name was ever needed. Well, then how do you distinguish Yahweh from any other gods if he doesn't have his own name?
Why was it such a great sin punishable by such terrible punishments for blaspheming that name?
That's right. That's right. So maybe Yahweh is Satan, right? If he had no name to distinguish himself from Satan. This is total confusion, to put it mildly.
Who's the author of confusion?
There you go. The only name he gave for himself was I Am. So he understands that this was a name, but he refuses to accept it, which indicated that he is to be identified with all existence. Well, it means more than that. I am that I am means I am what I choose to be. I will be what I choose to be. It has several meanings, but that he is
the only. Manifested himself. He even manifested himself as Yahshua Messiah to redeem us from our sins.
Right.
And what did Yahshua say? And this is right from one of David James's shows. Before Moses was, I am. I mean, duh.
It's eternity.
Well, David James is evil too.
Right, so how do you distinguish Satan from Yahweh? It's obvious that Satan is not the creator. He's the perverter. That's all he can do is pervert Yahweh's creation. That's the difference. Okay? Yep. And by violating Yahweh's laws, he perverts nature. That's the difference, folks. It's easy. This is easy stuff. But because you believe Jew lies and you believe those who confuse matters, Yahweh is not the author of confusion. But these people who equate Yahweh with Satan are authors of confusion, because they make something that's very simple into something very complicated. Next sentence.
There you go. They are deceivers. They will follow their leader, the great deceiver. And this is what we have to battle against. Yeah. And this show is another one of the battles in this war. That's what the show is. It's a battle in the war against lies and deception.
Right.
You know, who's calling names?
Right, exactly.
Why did all this come about?
Mm-hmm.
Because of disobedience to Yahweh's laws. If you want to stay in Yahweh's graces, you have to obey his laws and not commit all the, and the sins are spelled out clearly. And it's just rebellious willfulness on the part of some people. So now they've gone over to the enemy camp, and they're going to take all these other videos by these deceivers, and they're going to put them out there as the truth, quote unquote, and drag others down that path, same way, the path of destruction. So
he repeats the falsehood that these the Greek Septuagint Old Testament of 285 BC never used any sacred name for God, despite the evidence that I sent him, which I posted in the chat room, so proving beyond any doubt that the Paleo-Hebrew right to left was contained in the Septuagint. So,
well, they say that the Book of Esther, where they talk about Purim, doesn't have the name of Yahweh. Well, if you read it, it does.
That's right. It does.
And Purim was only the revenge and self-defense of Israel against those that tried to destroy Israel, and it was approved of by the ruler of the time, and all of Israel rose up and defended themselves.
That's right.
Against those that would commit genocide against them. Well, what are we doing today? We have to rise up, and the same people are trying to genocide us today.
Yeah.
Same people.
Right. Now, here he says, the word did not appear in any Old Testament text until the Masoretic text of 1000 A.D. That's his assertion. Okay. Well, that's false, because the Masoretic text is based on the original Hebrew, which they distorted. Okay. And we're told that Herod destroyed a lot of the Hebrew records because he didn't want to be shown up as a non-Israelite, as a non-Judahite, so he destroyed those records. But there were... Now, what was the Septuagint translated from? Okay.
The Hebrew.
There you go. It was translated from the Hebrew. Right? I mean, he's making so many logical errors, it's unbelievable. Okay.
Well, what was the reason for the Septuagint? It was because the business language of the times changed and everybody was using Greek.
Right.
So they translated the scriptures into Greek because it was a more common language, because the world had expanded.
Right.
Just like English is the main business language of most of the world. Well, down in Argentina on the coast, the business language is Japanese because they do such a trade with Japan.
Yeah,
that a lot of people down there speak Japanese in a Spanish-speaking country.
Right, right. Again, he contradicts himself. He says, the Anchor Bible Dictionary reads as follows, quote, in terms of the biblical narrative, some suggest that Moses derived the name of Yahweh from the Egyptians, while others think that Yahweh was a Midianite deity worshipped by the Kenite clan. Moses would have been introduced to this new deity when he married the daughter of Jethro. All right, so here he cites evidence that contradicts his statement that the name was only begun to be used in 1000 A.D., I mean, he can't even get his own facts straight. It's incredible. Truly incredible. So, who was Jethro?
That means His Excellency.
Okay. And he was a Midianite of... he was actually a Shemite. Okay. From the New World Encyclopedia in the Hebrew Bible, Jethro, as His Excellency / posterity, was the priest of Midian and Moses' father-in-law, who sheltered Moses for 40 years after his flight from Egypt. The father of Moses' wife, Zipporah, Jethro became the grandfather of their two sons, Gershom and Eliezer. It was while tending Jethro's flocks that Moses famously encountered God in the burning bush.
And got the name directly.
That's right. Right? Okay, so there are people who simply refuse to accept the biblical evidence and believe Jewish lies about the Bible, and that's where they get their quote-unquote Christianity from. Okay? Yeah, yeah, all right. So, the reality is that Moses came to Midian and learned the name of Yahweh from Jethro, his father-in-law. Okay. Moses' father-in-law is also called Reuel and Hobab. Now, there's a confusion here with the name Kenite.
Reuel means friend of God.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's Reuel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so it was Yahweh himself that told Moses to go back to Egypt and collect the Israelites and bring them back to, well, basically Midian, you know, the other side of the Sea of Reeds. Okay. All right. Yeah. And Jethro, being quoted here in Exodus 18:9, when he gave Zipporah to Moses, now I know that Yahweh is greater than all gods, and offered burnt offerings and sacrifices to Elohim. Jethro then hosted a sacred feast, and, quote, Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law in the presence of Elohim. That's Exodus 18:9.
And he followed along for a lot of the Exodus. He was in and out of their camps.
Okay.
Read that history.
Right.
He would show up and he'd visit for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'd go back. And then he came back and visited for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was a very powerful man in that area. He had a lot of land, a lot of flocks.
Yes.
He had men at his beck and call, armed men. So,
So it's evident that Jethro was a righteous man, probably following in the tradition because he was a descendant of Abraham and Keturah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Abraham and Keturah. So that he would have been a righteous man and got along very well with Moses, but it was under this tutelage from Jethro that Moses came to know the name of Yahweh. That's when he learned it. Okay, so he had to return to the Israelites, teach them about Yahweh, and tell the Israelites, well, Yahweh instructed me to gather you together and leave Egypt because he has a destiny for you, and he wants you to fulfill the promise of Genesis 15:18, where it says that the descendants of Abraham will take over the tribes of the 10 Canaanite tribes. This is your destiny, and I'm here to fulfill that destiny. All right.
Well, he was living in peace and safety under Reuel,
mm-hmm.
and he was drawn out. In other words, to look for an animal, he went out looking for one of the animals.
Okay.
And Yahweh appeared to him, and then he brought the name back to Yitro, but if you read the earliest part of the scriptures, they knew the name of Yahweh. This was a reminder to Moshe to remind Israel what the name was, because they had drifted away and were not using that name. They were just calling on Elohim, which means the divine being. He reminded them that the name was Yahweh, because they knew the name of Yahweh beforehand.
Right, they had forgotten it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we have forgotten our Israelite heritage, and then CI is reminding the Israelites of who they really are. That's what we're doing today. We're reminders.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're doing, is bringing back our heritage. Look, this is who we are. We've drifted away from it, and we're not going to be blessed unless we come back to the worship of Yahweh and start straightening up and put all these foreign laws and foreign practices that we have adopted over the years away from us. And a remnant is called out. And that's what we're dealing with here in CI, is the remnant.
That's right. That's right. It's the teaching of the remnant. Brother Abair posts from Jasher 32, and Zipporah answered her father, saying, surely you have heard that the God of the Hebrews is great and awful and does wonders for them at all times. Yeah, when we behave ourselves.
Yeah.
When we behave ourselves. So, I think we have done justice to the debunking of this Yahweh equals Satan hogwash. That's what it is, folks. It's hogwash.
Well, that could be the title for this show. Yahweh is Satan debunked.
Right? Very good. Very good. So this is what we have to deal with. You know, I mean, it's bad enough that the Judeos don't do any word studies and translate the scriptures as they please. It's bad enough that the Judeos do that. But then we have these outsiders who think they know better than the, you know, taking the Hebrew and Greek words and finding the correct definitions. And they basically follow Jewish teaching and run with it, right, over the cliff, right? They take the baton and run
right
over the cliff.
Well, there's an agenda there.
Mm-hmm.
And there are reasons behind this apostasy. And it's not righteousness.
That's right. It's okay. Not righteousness, right. Yeah. Yeah. So, in other words, I showed him these fragments, and he learned nothing from the fragments. Continues to deny that the name of Yahweh was used by the Israelites. But then he even asserts that they learned that name from the Canaanites, who were a polytheistic society. I mean, there's non sequiturs throughout his... And we were just dealing with a couple of paragraphs. He's got three pages of this stuff, and it's no better, right? So it's total confusion, and he needs to, you know, take the Bible seriously, which he hasn't been doing. Again, he's one of these people who assumes that the Old Testament is Jewish work, as Jewish writing, and therefore we shouldn't worship Yahweh because Yahweh is a Jewish God. No, he's
not. Oh, Brother
Hebert's
got it nailed.
Okay.
He puts Exodus 18, 8, and 11. Okay. And Reuel and his children remained among the Israelites for many days, and Reuel knew Yahweh from that day forward.
Very good.
Just calling on Elohim, which means divine being.
Right.
He didn't know the name.
Yes.
He knew then.
Yeah, but there's evidence that the Adamites knew the name of Yahweh.
Yes, way before.
Way before, but they apparently had forgotten it. Okay. So there's no doubt that the name of Yahweh was known.
In the book of Yob, which predates Moshe, before he had the Torah written, this book was written, and the name of Yahweh is in Yob.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
he was obviously a Sethite, right?
Well,
yeah.
These people, their argument just doesn't hold water. They're grasping at straws to avoid obeying laws.
And they're using Jewish arguments, which we know to be false. But they haven't done their homework and don't realize that the Jews are not Israelites, right? Well, and the Bible is not a Jewish book.
That's my little saying. Grasping at straws to avoid the laws.
There you go. Very good. All right, folks. Hopefully we have resolved this issue. And if anybody questions this Yahweh or Satan business again, just send them a link to this show. All right? It's too big a subject to do in writing. Haven't got the time for that. But I think we did a decent job of exposing the flaws in these arguments. Thanks for listening. Praise Yahweh. Pass the ammunition. Folks, take care. See you next time. Bye-bye.